Terry. Okay, Terry, if I told you, I'm going to give them an example. Have we ever met before? Have you seen what I have in my sleeve? No. If I told you you have 3 hours to buy a new car, what are you going to do? You can only have 3 hours. What are you going to go buy?
What kind of car?
Yes.
A fast car.
Do you have a specific one in mind? A Porsche. Now, why would you buy a Porsche? Because you know it's a quality automobile. You may have had one in the past. It's something that you would like to drive, isn't it? You've made what's called a heuristic decision, and that's usually most of our decisions, 80% of our decisions or more are heuristic decisions where we rely on stuff we already know about. When you go to a Cheesecake Factory and they have an 80-page menu, you find yourself going, I'll have a tuna sandwich. I just can't deal with an 80-page menu. I'll have a hamburger because I know I like hamburgers. That's a heuristic decision. So those are mental shortcuts that we use in everyday life to make a decision where it's not that important to us or we don't have enough time for studying. But we don't have the time or perhaps the mental ability for complex analysis. So we rely, for example, if I told you you had 1 hour to go buy a new phone, you'd probably say, most of people say, I buy an iPhone because I know it works and I'm not going to mess with the other types of phones that might blow up or, you know, the batteries do this or they fold over and blow up, whatever they do now. Okay, unconscious biases. We have an affinity bias, right? These are unconscious. That's really what this whole speech is about. It's not a bias. If you're just going to be a biased person because you intentionally are biased, just leave the room. But most of us are unconsciously biased, right? We like people who look like us or think or like us, that like one gender is better for a job. And we're going to talk at the very end. What I want everybody, or at least most of you, to promise to do is go to Project Implicit. And you can take online a 10-minute bias test on any subject you want, religion, whether women or men are better at engineering jobs. You can take it on sexual orientation, preferences, things, anything you want. And at Harvard, they amass this data. So it's really sort of fun. You don't even have to tell anybody your score on that. But it's Project Implicit. You'll see a slide at the end. The in-group bias, perceiving that some people are in a more positive light. Oh, you graduated from Duke? You must be a very smart person. See, if you went there, you're a wonderful person. Oh, if you went to A&M, I'm so sorry. Halo effect. You only look at the good attributes of somebody like us, right? Projection bias. Thinking that people think by us. Well, we're pretty smart, so unless you think like me, you're probably not as smart as I am, right? Confirmation, we only look at information. We're going to talk about that because that's where we are as a country. We only look for information that preserves our view of the world. And we ignore stuff that doesn't preserve our view of the world. And then value attribution, imbuing a person with a perceived value based upon their appearance. Now, who's heard of the Joshua Bell experiment? Joshua Bell, I got to hear him perform at the Aspen Music Festival, one of the greatest violinists in the world right now. And he plays a Stradivarius, and he's a wonderful. In the Joshua Bell experiment, you know, we expect to see somebody like that in Carnegie Hall or a packed house. Well, he put on a baseball cap and a pair of jeans and played one of the most difficult Bach fugues outside the subway. People just walked by. Yeah, nice. Yeah, he's pretty good. You know who was really fascinated with Joshua Bell? Children. They couldn't keep their eyes off him. But everybody walked by, even though he had just performed at Carnegie Hall or in Boston 2 days before, but it was a guy playing out of Subway. He played pretty good, you know. But so we don't pay attention if we don't know enough about the person that we're doing it. All right, the problem with heuristics is they rely on insignificant biases in our decision making. Framing the problem, this is so important to us as lawyers. The way we frame a problem for someone has a lot to do with the response we get from the person, right? Okay, so you can change the way we did it. The famous video that they showed, they had 7 groups of students, and they said, all right, I want you to look at this car crash video with these 2 cars crashing at an intersection. And they said, how fast were these cars going when they crashed into each other? First group, that they did an average like a jury. Okay, what do you think? They all agreed it was going somewhere around 39 miles an hour. Then they softened the verb. How fast was it going when they collided? How fast were they going? Then the final group says, how fast were they going when the bumpers first touched? Remember when they crashed, they went 39? They were going 19 miles an hour when the bumpers touched. So the way you phrase that question to the jury or to the receiver of the information, that city council or anything, has a lot to do with, this is such a wonderful presentation that we're going to do. Sure, it's going to pollute the lake, but it's going to be so good for the environment. You know. Anyway, so the way we say things, framing the problem in others' minds. All right, let's talk about the 7 steps of effective decision making. I love this chart only because it resonated me when I went to all these leadership trainings in the Army. We always had steps of leadership. Anyway, and so the most important thing I'd say there at the end is that we never do. We gather the information. Okay, what decision do we have to make? What do we have to make? By the way, if you haven't read the book, The Nine by Tubin, Jeffrey Tubin's book about the Supreme Court, you can tell he just loves O'Connor, Justice O'Connor. He said she was the absolute leader of that court as the schoolmarm who would say when they had these complex cases, gentlemen, we really only have to decide this one clause. You don't have to throw out, you don't have to do this. Let's decide what the issue is here and not throw out the baby with the bathwater. And she was the one who was able for that court. And so anyway, read the book, The Nine. It's, for a lawyer, it's a really fast, fascinating read about certain justices on the Supreme Court, even from 100 years ago. And it's really, really a fun book to read.